This is Dan from Karate Cafe. You are listening to the Practical Defense Podcast with Alex Haddix, where he punches your brain face with his mind fists.
Welcome to the Practical Defense Podcast, where you'll learn practical approaches to staying safe in our increasingly dangerous urban environments. I am your host, Alex Haddix, and this is episode 253, Mailbag. Before we listen to the voicemails, I have a quick announcement. Practical Defense has hit a major milestone and broken the 2 million download mark. So a big thank you to all the new listeners and those that have been tuning in every week for the past 5 years. Okay, so this week I'm going to clear out some of the voicemails that have been backing up. I'll play three this week, and here's the first.
Hey, this is Adam out of Connecticut. I just purchased a new car recently, about a week ago. And when I programmed the garage door opener that's built into the rearview mirror of the vehicle, I found out that it actually works without the key being in the car and without the car being on or off. It doesn't matter. It works no matter what. So I had to disable it because if I obviously left the car parked out in front of my house, somebody has access to opening my garage door just by popping one of my windows out or jimmy rigging the car open and then having access to the inside of the car. This is a 2013 model. I called the manufacturer and the dealership and trying to have that sorted out. I see it as a possible security breach. Just letting you know so you can let everybody else know. Thanks.
Thanks, Adam. That's actually really good advice. There's a balance between security and ease of use. The easier something is means that it's less secure. Conversely, more secure nearly always means that things are less convenient. So thank you for bringing up the issue with the built-in garage door openers.
Hi, Alex. My name is John. I've been listening to your show for a long time, and you're doing a really great job, so please keep up the good work. I was wondering if you could maybe do a podcast at some point about self-defense options when you're traveling to and from a non-permissive environment. For example, I work at a university which has the typical university weapons policies, and I commute also about 20, 25 miles each way every day. And of course, the university is in the middle of a large metropolitan area on the East Coast. So if you need a call back with some options, I would really like a podcast like that. I think it'd be really useful for a lot of people. Thank you. Keep up the good work. Bye.
Thanks for calling in, John. I get this question every so often, and I don't have good news for you. Essentially, you're screwed by the prohibitive and non-secure security policies. Most facilities have policies whereby using their parking facilities, you give them the right to search your vehicle at any time and without notice. This is true for schools and businesses. The anti-defensive tool policies of the buildings are often applied to the entire property, which includes parking areas. This has been a big problem for hunters who like to keep firearms in their locked cars so they can head directly out to hunt after work, or license permit holders who cannot carry in the buildings but want to carry on their commute to and from work. Be careful about parking off-site as well. There was a case last year, or perhaps a year or two before, where an 18-year-old high school student was arrested for having a firearm in his car. He wasn't even parked on campus. He was two blocks away and they still arrested him. He eventually won a lawsuit, had the charges dropped, and had the expulsion rescinded, but it was still a nasty mess. He was an upstanding student, and he never threatened anyone, he never brought it on campus, or he did anything wrong. It was a hunting rifle. With today's heightened sensitivity of firearms around schools, I strongly recommend that no one carry, legally or not, anywhere near a school. So, I can't offer you a solution, John. All I can recommend is caution and that you obey all of the rules. If you don't, or even if you push them to the limit, you can still get into trouble, even if you're legally in the right.
Hey, I just wanted to call in and comment about the air dusters. The new air dusters actually have a bitter taste to them. If you use them anywhere near your mouth, you'll actually get a horrible taste in your mouth, and it will stay in your mouth for literally hours. Anyways, love the show. Thank you very much. See ya.
Thanks for calling in, anonymous caller. He didn't leave a name, so I have no idea who he is. Also, I did a little editing of the message to pull out some items. He got into more detail on sources of getting high than I felt comfortable with putting on the air. However, it is good to know that some computer air duster manufacturers are adding some bad flavoring to their products. There are chemical companies out there that specialize in bad flavors. They are usually added to products to deter children and animals from chewing or eating them. When you think about it, it only makes sense to add them to air dusters as well. That'll do it for this week. As always, you can follow my daily tips on Twitter and Facebook. On Twitter, I'm Practical Def, and Facebook is Practical Defense. If you're thinking about a career in private security in California, we have a fully accredited and fully online program. We have the best material and the lowest prices. Visit our website at palladiumonlinesecurity.com for all the details. If you have any tips you'd like to share with everyone, a comment on a show, or if you would like to suggest a topic for an upcoming episode, write into podcast@palladium-education.com. You can also leave us a voicemail on the Practical Defense tip or comment line, like everyone on this episode did, at 805-203-6586. I'd love to hear from you. Until next time, stay aware, stay safe.
Gun Rights Radio Network has the best pro-Second Amendment, pro-gun rights podcast available on the net. The podcasts are absolutely free when subscribing using iTunes or Zoom Marketplace. Or if you want, you can just listen from the website. Make sure you visit gunrightsradio.com to subscribe. Podcasting freedom, one episode at a time.
The legal aftermath of using a gun in self-defense can be traumatic and expensive. Get help and peace of mind through the Armed Citizens Legal Defense Network. Network members receive much-needed financial and legal support right after a self-defense incident. They also receive education in the form of DVDs from some of the top names in the business, along with having access to a nationwide pool of attorneys. Learn about membership at www.armedcitizensnetwork.org.
Practical Defense is a member of the Gun Rights Radio Network at gunrightsradio.com. And that does it for this episode. Thank you for downloading and listening to the Practical Defense Podcast. For questions, tips, comments, or topic suggestions, send us an email at podcast@palladium-education.com. That's podcast@palladium-education.com. Or leave us a voicemail at 805-203-6586. I look forward to hearing from you. The Practical Defense Podcast and theme music are copyright Palladium Education Incorporated.
You can hear Gun Rights Radio Network on Stitcher Smart Radio. Stitcher allows you to listen to your favorite shows directly from your iPhone, Android phone, BlackBerry, or Palm phones, on demand and on the go. Don't have Stitcher? Download it for free today at Stitcher.com or in the app stores. Stitcher Smart Radio, the smarter way to listen to radio. Gun Rights Radio Network shows can be found under Sources.